Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Cyprus after meeting with Arab leaders, including Palestinian President Abbas in the West Bank. They've been pushing for a ceasefire, while aid organizations and others are hoping for a pause in the fighting to let humanitarian aid and fuel into Gaza while allowing people to get out. Israeli government senior advisor Mark Regev says there are conditions.
Aid that's given to the people of Gaza must be given to the people of Gaza, but unfortunately the only people in Gaza with guns who can take whatever they want is Hamas. And quite rightly, if people want to talk to us about fuel, they have to be able to explain to us how will that fuel be prevented from getting to Hamas.
There's also the issue of hostages.
The International Committee of the Red Cross has repeatedly asked Hamas for permission at least to visit these people. That has been refused. So a humanitarian pause, from our point of view, has to include release of hostages.
Even without a pause, World Food Program Executive Director Cindy McCain says its trucks are getting in, but slowly.
We anticipate getting 14 of our trucks in today, and we got close to 10 in yesterday. The numbers are gradually increasing, but we'd like this to go not just increase, but increase exponentially.
CBS's Linda Kenyon has more on the U.S. position.
As President Biden was leaving church in Delaware Saturday.
Mr. President, any progress on the humanitarian pause?
Yes. That's all he said, but administration officials have reiterated the president's position that a pause for a limited period of time is one thing. A ceasefire is quite another, because a ceasefire, they say, would only benefit Hamas, giving it time to regroup, rearm, and plan for its next attack against Israel. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
The United Auto Workers Union now has tentative deals with the big three automakers. Union President Sean Fain is taking a victory lap.
It's more than just a fight against the big three. It was a bare-knuckle match between the working class and corporate greed.
Up next, Fain says they'll make efforts to organize non-union shops like Tesla and Toyota. The Energy Department says it's investing more than $1 billion into the country's power grid, with three new lines spanning over six states. The agency says it needs to do more, but it's a start. And then there's this kind of energy. Taylor Swift is the subject of an Indiana University pop culture conference. Organizer Natalie Almanza.
Having a platform for scholars to speak about her and to have these scholarly discussions in this accessible way was just really important to us and really was something that we wanted to prioritize and do.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Don't change the station, like, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new report identifies more than 70 utility companies around the country which still rely heavily on fossil fuels, including two of Wisconsin's biggest utilities. Mike Moan has more now on research from the Sierra Club.
We Energies received a D grade for plans to transition to wind, solar, and other renewables. Wisconsin Public Service received the same grade, although it was an improvement over last year. Sierra Club's Wisconsin director, Elizabeth Ward, says the actions of the parent company don't match its public messaging.
WEC has some pretty lofty goals stated about going coal-free, but when we look at what they're actually doing, they're talking about keeping their Oak Creek coal plant online even longer, and they're proposing more gas throughout the state.
WEC Energy did not respond to a request for comment, but on its website, it maintains it will be in a position to eliminate coal as an energy source by 2035. Meanwhile, Wisconsin's Alliant Energy improved from a D grade to a B amid investments in solar and battery storage. The Federal Inflation Reduction Act passed last year made hundreds of billions of dollars available to companies to address climate change, but Sierra Club Energy Campaigns analyst Noah Verbeek says utilities continue to delay a transition to clean energy because of factors like executive pay being linked to fossil fuel-based asset performance.
And we're really hoping to see a lot more progress this year, especially given all the money that is available to really encourage these utilities to make this shift.
He adds nationwide, people of color and low-income communities continue to be exposed to higher levels of dangerous particulate matter pollution than other groups and are at greater risk for developing diseases linked to chronically breathing dirty air. This is Mike Bowen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Meteorologist Rodney Price, a mostly cloudy sky, a light south to southeast wind up to 15. Could see some mid to late afternoon sprinkles moving in, otherwise 53 degrees. For your Sunday night, sprinkles and some light rain around, steady temperatures in the lower 50s, and staying breezy. It's 33 at our studios.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, we're gonna have a good day.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. I just want to start out by saying happy National Family Caregivers Month. And I would love to hear from you guys tonight. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. Everyone knows a caregiver. Whether you would like to call in and tell me about the ups and downs of your caregiving journey, or you want to acknowledge and celebrate a person you know, give me a call, 844-967-2789. I would also love to get input on what you think should be done on either a federal, national, or local level to support family caregivers. It's Family Caregiver Month, so let's talk about all things family caregiving. So let me just start by giving a little history about National Family Caregiver Month. It actually was started by the National Family Caregivers Association, which is now called CAN, or Caregiver Action Network. And they began promoting the National Family Caregiver Month way back in 1994. They're the ones who spearheaded the national celebration of National Caregiver Awareness Month every November. In 1997, President Bill Clinton signed the National Family Caregivers Week Presidential Proclamation. Ever since, every U.S. president has done the same. In honor of National Family Caregivers Month, I would like to take just a second to read to you Joe Biden's proclamation to caregivers. He wrote, "During National Family Caregiver Month, we would like to recognize the love and sacrifice of more than 50 million Americans providing crucial care and medical assistance to parents, children, siblings, and other loved ones, ensuring their health and dignity. Today, far too many Americans find themselves sandwiched between the enormous tasks of supporting aging parents, raising young families, and trying to earn a living. Others bear the responsibility of caring for loved ones with a disability or look after wounded, ill, or injured service members and veterans who have sacrificed so much for us all. The truth is, at some point in our lives, each of us will likely need to be a family caregiver, but the burden falls especially hard on those who cannot afford support. Women, people of color, and immigrants shoulder a disproportionate share of the obligations, sometimes forced to leave good jobs instead to provide care. Their work is profound service to their families and our nation, but they are still too often unseen, undervalued, and unpaid. No one should have to choose between looking after a loved one or earning a paycheck. Joe Biden goes on to say in his declaration for National Family Caregivers Month, my administration is committed to easing that squeeze on working families that are getting caregivers, the resources and respect they deserve. The Department of Health and Human Services National Strategy to Support Family Caregivers outlines nearly 350 actions the federal government can take to support family caregivers' health, well-being, and financial security. Our American Rescue Plan provided $145 million to help the National Family Caregiver Support Programs deliver counseling, training, and short-term relief to family and other informal care providers. We have expanded the Department of Veterans Affairs program of comprehensive assistance for family caregivers so more veterans can have the financial and mental health support they deserve. And we helped launch the Hidden Helpers Initiative to serve more, to serve the 2.3 million children now living with a disabled veteran. Meanwhile, we have pushed Congress to lower child and elder care costs across the country and provide paid family and medical leave. We have more to do to win this fight, and we are not done, he goes on to say, that he will not give up. Family caregivers are the backbone of our nation's long-term care system, doing essential work with devotion, often at a great emotional and financial cost. And I would also like to add, in addition to physical health, there is many studies out there showing the implications to one's health as being a family caregiver. But he goes on to say, we owe them. It is time to bring their service out of the shadows and celebrate and support them in living their own happy, healthy, and fulfilling lives. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States, by virtue of the authority invested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim November as National Family Caregiver Month. I encourage all Americans to reach out to those who provide care for our nation's family members, friends, and neighbors in need to honor and thank them. Thank you, Joe Biden. And I know that he is really taking this seriously. And I do believe what he has to say when he has said that he is committed to make a difference. He already has done a lot on the veterans front and is in support of the organizations that are trying to make a difference every day. I was just at Washington last week, and I will talk a little bit more about that later, but I would love to hear your thoughts on Biden's proclamation. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. There's one thing that came to mind to me when reading that, and that is when he said, we are working towards getting caregivers the resources and respect that they deserve. In all of my conversations with caregiving, respect is not, it's honestly not a word that I've heard come up. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. You know, do you think that caregivers give the respect that they deserve? And my first initial thought was yes. But then, to be honest, I had to reflect on all of the times that I've found myself, especially when I was in Washington, D.C., saying, oh, I'm just a caregiver. When I was out in D.C. for the first ever National Caregiver Summit, there were a lot of key players in the room. There was the National Cancer Society, AARP is probably one of the huge, the biggest leaders in the nation regarding caregiver issues. What else? The Dementia Society, a lot of key stakeholders were there at this National Caregiver Summit. And, you know, when we had the opportunity to mix and mingle, I found myself saying, I'm just a caregiver. Well, I found myself saying that once because once was all it took. I felt like a lot of those people were, their jaws were dropping. What do you mean you're just a caregiver? We're having, you know, we're at a national summit trying to make a difference for caregivers across the nation. You can't identify as just a caregiver. So I had to step back and reflect on that. And you know, there's truth to that. We should be wearing this as a badge of honor. And I don't think that most of us do that. Most of us, I feel, and this is why I'm doing the work that I'm doing, don't even acknowledge that they're caregivers. I've said it a lot, and I will keep saying it. You know, that the majority of people see themselves as husband, wife, father, son, brother, sister, what have you, but they don't see themselves as a caregiver. Now, I'm not saying that you need to walk around identifying yourself as a caregiver, or, you know, when you're with a loved one saying, I'm here as the caregiver, but I think it is important for all people that take on this role to acknowledge that there's implications to it. Like I had just shared earlier, you know, it impacts your physical health, mental health, physical well-being, you know, just about every area of your life. And knowing that just allows you to do what you need to do to stay healthy and safe and have some money in the bank at the end of the day. So I do think caregivers should know and understand what it means to be a caregiver. I don't think they have to go around telling everybody that they're a caregiver or identify as a caregiver. I think they just have to know that it's a role above and beyond being a loved one to the person that they're caring for, and that there's implications, and that there's also people out there, resources, and support and getting connected into that caregiver community. I don't think you have to be in waist deep, but I think every caregiver out there should know that there's caregiver resources and support. And, you know, many great people, like I had the opportunity to meet last week, that are working day and night effortlessly to make changes for caregivers. They realize that this is a difficult and for many people unsustainable role that we as a nation need to address. Like I mentioned, the caregivers are the backbone of the nation. And if they were to up and walk out, I think we would crumble. We would crumble quick. We rely on them heavily. So we're going to talk a little bit more about National Family Caregiver Month and my trip to Washington, D.C. after this short break.
The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens
or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. This is 93.5, The Tap.
This is Liza Helen Brand, and you are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm sorry, you guys. I guess that is one of my new favorite songs. I just fell into, well, honestly, almost sleep, but La La Land listening to it. So today I am talking a little bit about the National Family Caregiver Month, and I would love to hear your thoughts. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Earlier in the last segment, I had read through Joe Biden's proclamation that he gave to family caregivers, and I was a little shocked by the word respect. He said that it was his job to work towards getting caregivers the resources and respect that they deserve, and I would love to know your thoughts on that. Do you feel like you get the respect that you deserve? And I just also wanted to talk a little bit more about why is it that caregivers get their own month. And I think that it is a great opportunity to thank and honor family caregivers. I think that's something we should be doing every day, quite frankly. But what I really would like to do is use it as an opportunity to raise awareness on family caregiving and the caregiver crisis that's going on in America, because he did say something about having caregivers coming out of the shadows. And right now I really feel that's kind of a place where the caregivers are. I don't think it's a common word. I think people are confused by it. You know, there's many different types of caregiving, which just made me think. One thing that I posted on Facebook, which I would love to have somebody call in today, is I wanted to hear some of the stories of the family caregivers out there, either from the caregivers themselves or for somebody that would like to honor a caregiver that they know. So I posted that on Facebook, and I had a relative that said, "Oh yeah, I saw that. But I don't really know, you know, who's the caregiver. Is it somebody caring for the parents, somebody caring for a kid? Like, I didn't quite get it." And it can be confusing, because I think there are lots of different types of caregivers, whether it be professional or, like I had mentioned, if you're caring for an aging parent in some way, you're a caregiver. I feel like I should do that as a redneck, right? The redneck, you know, you might be a caregiver if, right? you might be a caregiver if you notice every time you wake up, your mom's in your living room, something like that. So aging parent, caregiver, yes. Having somebody with a disability in your life, caregiver, yes. Caring for a veteran, yes. Somebody that is going through a chronic illness, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to have it forever, but, you know, people that are struggling with cancer and different medical illnesses and you're caring for them, yes. So what it really comes down to is somebody that relies on you, somebody that you are giving a level of support to. Parenting, definitely form of caregiving. However, to me, parenting is a little different. When you parent somebody, or when you're a parent, the goal is, right, that this person matures, becomes more responsible, independent. At least that's what we're crossing our fingers for. I've got a 17-year-old, kind of iffy, but that's what we're crossing our fingers for. Your children, they grow up. They jump out of the nest and fly and go their way. So yes, a portion of your life is caregiving. And yes, you definitely go through many of the same experiences that other caregivers go through, as far as never enough time, never enough money, never enough help, you know, so definitely a form of caregiving. But what I like to focus on, what my focus on is on when I am talking about caregiving, is those people that are providing a level of support ongoing until the end of time, right? It ends when one of you is no longer there. And it's those people that really need support because it's an ongoing thing. Let's see, we've got a caller on the line. No.
We'll take them after the next break. We're just about ready to wrap up here.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Nate, for jumping in, because I could not read that from afar. So as I was saying, there are a lot of different types of caregiving. And why do we have a caregiving month? Because caregiving can be tedious. It can be repetitive. It can be physically challenging. It can be emotionally straining. For many caregivers, they sacrifice their own well-being to take care of their loved ones. With that being said, and I always want to make sure I add this, being a caregiver can be one of the most amazing experiences in a person's life. It is profoundly rewarding and satisfying to know that you are there to help a person out no matter what. You got their back. So I am not saying that it is a terrible role by any means. I'm saying it has implications and it can be challenging and wonderful and very meaningful to those that care for others. So just wanted to rattle off real quickly. I know we have just a minute here before we go into commercial, but what are ways that we can honor family caregivers? Actually, I'll save it to when we come back. Think about it. Give me a call. How can we honor the family caregivers that we know in our life?
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Israel says there will be no humanitarian pause in the fighting. Government spokesman Mark Regev says food and fuel would likely fall into the wrong hands.
The reality in Gaza is that Hamas runs the show and they're very violent and brutal people. And if they come in with their guns and want to take something, no one can stop them.
CBS's Matt Piper says the U.S. is getting a power boost.
The Department of Energy is investing $1.3 billion into the nation's electric grid. The government says the money will go toward building three power lines that span across six states. It's warning that that's not nearly enough, though, saying more infrastructure is needed across practically the entire country to meet clean energy goals.
Never hear of agave? It's a plant that can be used to make alcoholic beverages. It doesn't need much water to grow. It's a must during California's drought and a perfect crop for farmers like Lee Ortega.
These could basically supplement other crops that did make you use a lot of water.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
The Bucks head to Brooklyn. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks head east to play the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night. Tip-off time at 6:30. Then they're back home in Milwaukee Wednesday night against the Detroit Pistons. That one starts at 7 o'clock. The Bucks with a 110-105 win over the Knicks Friday night. Milwaukee head coach Adrian Griffin, looking for ways to improve their defense and rebounds, moved Brooke Lopez back, but says it wasn't his idea.
I didn't have to say anything. He approached me, and it just speaks to his character, and you know, he's a winner.
College football, the Badgers lost on the road at Indiana for the first time since 2002. The final, Indiana 20, Wisconsin 14. Head coach Luke Fickell on losing the turnover battle.
You know, they out-hustled us or just, you know, we got to make our own breaks. You know, sometimes as you look back at it, that might be the difference in the ballgame. The ability to capitalize on the opportunities that you have and the ability to create some turnovers is, you know, is something that we didn't have a chance to do.
That's Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly cloudy sky, a light south to southeast wind up to 15. Could see some mid to late afternoon sprinkles moving in, otherwise 53 degrees. For your Sunday night, sprinkles and some light rain around, steady temperatures in the lower 50s and staying breezy. Currently 35 degrees.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Todd Alba Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Tom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I would love to hear from you guys tonight. This is the kickoff to National Family Caregivers Month. It is a time to thank and honor the caregivers in our life. So if you have somebody that you know is a caregiver and you want to give them a shout out, let me tell you, I want to give them a shout out too. So give me a call and let me know what makes them an awesome caregiver. If you're a caregiver yourself, go ahead and give me a call and tell me about your caregiving journey. I do this show each and every week to represent caregivers. And the more that I can hear their stories and learn from them, the better that I can do my job. So go ahead and give me a call at 1-844-967-2789. That's 1-844-967-2789. And it looks like we have a caller on the line right now. Sherry from Horicon, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for blessing them. There are two blessings. I worked in healthcare many years, and but my sister, Rhonda, is like the most wonderful caregiver in the whole wide world. My dad had cancer for like 20 years, and he took care of my mom, and she had a heart attack and a stroke. Then she got paralyzed and was in a wheelchair, and they lived in Wisconsin. I live in Wisconsin, and they had a home in Arizona, and my sister lives in Arizona. And so they moved out there full time, and Dad kept trying to take care of her, but his cancer got bad, and Rhonda had to take him to doctor appointments all the time, and and take care of Mom, get her up in the morning, and you know, and she's high maintenance. So anyway, praise the Lord, Dad passed in February, and he had like 12 cancers.
Oh, wow.
And,
sorry for your loss.
All that, Rhonda took care of them. And so anyway, now she takes care of Mom. Her back is hurting. She has to lift her and put her into the wheelchair and, you know, transfer her. And
yeah. Is Rhonda living with?
No, Mom's in an assisted living.
Okay.
But they don't do anything for her. So she goes over there every day at 7:30 in the morning in Arizona time, and gets her ready, gets her breakfast, you know, and then goes back at lunch, goes back at dinner, goes back and forth like numerous times. And she is just like a miracle. And my sister Lori lives in St. Louis. I live in Wisconsin, and Mom lives in Arizona now. So I can't help. So I go through the part of, I want to be there and help, but I can't help. And,
sure.
And she's like, nobody's here to help me. It's only on me. But she doesn't have any support groups, but she does have her church. And she's totally with her church, and her job really, 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 really helps. I mean, whatever Mom has to do or Dad had to do, you know, doctor appointments and stuff. And
so her job's flexible. Her job offers the flexibility.
Yeah. She didn't get paid during it.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's
they allowed her to take off.
That's good. You know? Yeah.
And I think that what needs to do is when you have to take off to take care of a family member, somebody should step up. because poor Rhonda, I mean.
Right. I mean, that is one thing that Biden has spoke out. I can't remember if it was in the proclamation that I just read or if it was at a different time, but having paid family leave and having that separate from your vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like this year I have osteoporosis real bad and I had a broken hip and my daughter came up and helped me a lot and my ex-husband and I are best friends, and, they both took off work to take care of me, but no pay.
Right, right. No pay, and a lot of times those same people are dipping into, you know, to their personal days and their vacation days.
And then... You know, that's not right.
No, I mean, I feel like caregivers provide billions. I mean, I don't feel it. There's data to back this up. They provide billions of dollars worth of unpaid care. So to give somebody a day off so they can do that or some compensation to be able to do that, I really feel is kind of the least that you know someone can do. So I really hope that passes the Family Care Leave Act, that, you know, they expand on that to include not just immediate family. It can be all sorts of different family that are taking care of someone.
Rhonda's still, like my sister, she's still working and trying to take care of mom at the same time and doctor appointments and everything, you know, and my mom is 89. My dad was 93. In February when he passed. So, I mean, it's
a challenge. And, you know, it's a challenge not only for you and Rhonda, I'm sure, but the 53 million other people. And, you know, we just don't.
I know. I think it's.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't go out crying in the streets. We just do it without saying a peep, I think, for the most part. Right. Because it's something that you do.
When Rhonda's at her highest level of stress, she'll let go. And,
yeah,
you know, and then she'll just.
Well, there's so.
Oh, honey, I wish I could help you. I can't help you. I'm way over here in Wisconsin.
Right. You know? Right. Well, I'm gonna give you a few ideas, and then I'd like for you to hang on to the line because in my efforts to honor Rhonda and all of the other caregivers out there, I have a small self-care little gift box that I put together, and I absolutely would love to send one to Rhonda.
Send her one. Yes.
I'll have you hang on the line, and Nate will take that information. And thank you so much for the call.
Well, thank you for your show. I listen to you all the time, and I think your husband is great on the doubles.
Thank you. I will let him know, but I appreciate your listenership. And if you want to call in and tell me your family caregiving story, whether it's somebody that you want to honor or whether it's the work that you are doing yourself, what's going great? Where could you use help? Maybe either at a federal, national, or local level. Give me a call at 1-844-967-2789. And I know one thing that Sherry had shared is, you know, feeling a little helpless back in Wisconsin when mom and dad are being supported by her sister out in Arizona. And a lot of people are in that situation. And whether it be, you know, long miles away or just across the street, I came across a resource that said, you know, what are some ways that we can honor family caregivers? And I will say, first and foremost, provide respite. Just help them out. Give them a break. Say, you know what? I can watch so-and-so. Even if you're nervous as all could be, you can do it for an hour, right? For an hour nap so they can go run an errand. Finding respite help is extremely difficult. And I will tell you that I had the great fortune of finding a respite care provider for my son that has autism over the summer months when he wasn't in school, and going through all the red tape and the hoopla to get this girl signed up so his IRIS funding could pay for it. It took the whole summer. She never got paid. She did get paid. We paid her out of our personal income funds just for some help. And not only did it provide respite for me, not that I need a ton of respite for my son. He's just home from college. I love spending time with him, but it provides respite for him as well. You know, some of those that are in other situations, I really wanted him to have the opportunity to be out in the community. And could I take him out in the community? Yes, I could. Would I take him out in the community? Yes, I would. Does he want to be out in the community as a 19-year-old male with his mom? Nope. So that's where finding respite comes in. But there's a lot of people that rely on respite just so they can do basic things, run to the store, get a nap, attend a doctor's appointment of their own. So providing respite is probably the gold star. You do that and you will most likely have a slightly better Christmas present this year than you did last. Maybe. Try it and see. Prove me right, prove me wrong. The next one in is just check in and listen. And you don't have to solve problems. Sometimes I hate venting to my husband because he always wants to solve the problem or whatever I'm venting about. You don't have to solve problems. You might not know how to solve problems. You might not know what the heck they're talking about. Doesn't matter. Just listen. And if they want advice, you know, ask if you have an idea for them. The other thing is, and this is where I really struggle, so somebody can call in and give me some help on this one. When you are offering help, be specific. It's so easy to say, well, let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Oh, that must be so hard. If there's anything I can do to help. Those are all very, you know, you mean well. When I say them, and I say them a lot, I mean well, but it's hard for people to really take you up on that kind of vague offer. So if you can be specific, hey, you know what? Tuesdays between 10 and 12, I have free time. I would love to help you out doing X, Y, or Z, or, you know, this is the time that I have available. And that gives them the opportunity to say, yeah, sure, that would be great, instead of tracking you down and saying, remember that time when you said, if there's anything I can do, which I don't want to throw people that say that under the bus. I do it all the time. And like I said, that is where I struggle. So when offering help, be specific. Help out with chores. Nobody's going to say no to that, right? The other thing to keep in mind is to keep inviting. And it is hard for caregivers to commit to things. It is hard for them to have everything align in once where they have the time, the money, the energy, the whatever to go out. So if it doesn't happen, just keep inviting. Last thought before we go into break, offer words of encouragement. I'd love to talk a little bit about that more when we come back. And I also would love to hear your caregiving stories and the caregivers in your life that you would like to thank and honor. I would be honored if I could give them a shout out. So give me a call after this short break.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Gillette Intimate gives guys a gentle and easy shave on there. And around there. And even under there. Don't treat your groin like junk. Respect it with Gillette Intimate, the best a man can get. Buy now at a retailer near you.
Temperatures getting low, but demand remains high? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say, real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand, and today we are talking all things family caregiver in honor of National Family Caregiver Month. This is a month that we honor and thank family caregivers, as well as raise awareness of the caregiving role. I was talking earlier before the break, ways that we can honor family caregivers. Some people may say, yeah, I know a caregiver, but I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? Come up to them and say, Happy National Family Caregiver Month? No, there I have a whole list. Well, you can do that. They probably would appreciate that as well. But you can also provide respite, check in, just listen. You don't have to answer or you don't have to solve problems. Just listen. When offering advice or when offering help, be specific. Offer to help out with chores. Keep inviting. Caregiving is hard. Caregivers are tired. They lack time. Getting out can be difficult, but important. So keep asking. And the other one is to offer words of encouragement. And this is something that, you know, Sherry could probably do to her sister in Arizona. Is just give a call. And I'm sure that she does. I'm absolutely sure that she does. But when, you know, offering words of encouragement, you know, hey, I saw a woman helping her mom who was really struggling at a restaurant today. It made me think about how hard you work taking care of your mom. Just wanted to let you know, I was thinking about you. I hope you have a great day. Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. What am I missing? How are you honoring the caregivers that you know? Give me a call if you want to share your caregiving story. I would love to hear it if there's a caregiver that you would like to honor. Also, super curious to hear about what people think should be done on a federal, federal, state, and local level. Give me a call at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. And as I mentioned earlier, I have some caregiver gift boxes that I would absolutely love to send out to some caregivers. So if you want to call and give me your own personal story or of a story of a caregiver that you would like to acknowledge, I would love to send them a little fun self-care gift box in the mail. Nothing like getting stuff in the mail, especially when it's not Amazon. How often does that happen, right? I am Liza Hallenbrand, and you are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we are talking about National Family Caregiver Month. One thing that I really wanted to point out, and this kind of goes back to the isolation part and feeling alone, is that every year during this National Family Caregiver Month, they give a theme. And this year's theme is Caregivers Connect. Last year it was Caregiving Happens, like it just happens whether you want it to or not. This year, Caregivers Connect. The theme highlights how important it is for caregivers to build strong connections and access to information, share experiences, and find support. Statistics reveal that between 40 and 70% of caregivers experience clinical symptoms of depression, which can often be caused by feelings of isolation and loneliness associated with the caregiving experience. And you may say, you know, how can you feel isolated and lonely in today's world? But it most definitely happens. I'm going to have to stop and take a quick drink of water here. Sorry, excuse me about that. So, itch in the throat. Isolation absolutely happens as a caregiver. I've experienced it personally, you know, and it can happen on a couple different reasons. It can be, you know, people that just withdraw from previous habits and lifestyle. You know, while their friends continue their daily routines, some caregivers are left to feel alone in their caregiving duties. And likewise, caregivers without support from other caregivers in similar situations may feel as though no one really understands the situation. And, you know, lastly, they may actually be isolated. If there are many people out there that are caring for someone 24/7. I recall reading a story of someone, I believe it was England, I can't remember the exact location, but they're going through the same challenges there, and she couldn't find any paid caregivers, and nobody was stepping up to the plate to help. Her son required 24/7 care. At one point, she claims that she was up nearly 60 hours because he had some kind of tracheal tube that could get clogged, and if it did, he could pass. So he literally needed somebody watching him for 24/7. So isolation is most definitely real, and you know, I don't think in my caregiving experience with my son with autism, I felt it quite as much, but on the parenting front, I definitely did. I had a daughter when I was 20, not sure if I would recommend that, but when I was with other 20-year-olds, my other 20-year-olds out, it was really clear that we were night and day different. You know, when I was working 40 hours a week and raising a kid as a single mom and they're 20-year-olds in college, there was nothing in common there. So there was definitely feelings of isolation. So that can be one thing. I do know having my son with autism, you know, people at first kind of felt, I wouldn't think scared is the right word, but they didn't know, especially 20 years ago when there was much less information on autism. So stay connected to those caregivers. Keep encouraging them to connect with you. And like I had said, you may take a couple no's because they're busy and they're tired and they need to find respite if they're going to be going out. But that connection is key and crucial to one's mental health. I would love to hear your thoughts about caregiving. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. I'll be back after this short break.
And actually, this is the end of the show.
I will not be back after this short break. I will be back next week. Have a great week and happy National Caregivers Month.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King, Secretary of State Antony.